to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 16. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, I was in a quandary. Preachers get in quandaries sometimes. You know what I mean? And as I was preparing this sermon, I wrote another sermon on the same text. So I had two sermons in front of me. And lo and behold, the light shined down, and there was three. So I have here in front of me this particular text. And I wrote three sermons. Three. And I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, what am I to do? What should I do? I have three sermons. I could preach this one, I could preach that one, or I can preach that one. What should I do? Here's what I thought the Lord said. Put them together, preach all three. So get ready. We're going for a ride, amen? Put on your safety belt, put on your glasses, and get ready. We're going for a ride. In the book of Romans, chapter 16, I've been enamored with little churches and the difference they can make. Do you know in the Bible, when you study churches, most of the churches were all little churches. And I realize we're small in number tonight. I'm still going to preach like I'm preaching to 200,000. I'm just going to sick it. That's how I'd go. I preach to 10 like I preach to 10,000. I don't care. I figure God can use one of you or two of you as much as he can use anybody. Right? Amen? Now follow with me. We're going to be looking at a little church that could whip the devil. Phew. I like that thought. Hey, you want to give the devil a beating? I want you to know a little church can do it. A little church can give the devil a beating. From the book of Romans, chapter 16, look with me first of all at verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet this little church that is meeting in the house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, which is the first fruits of Acacia unto Christ. This little church, little churches. Now go on down to chapter 16 and verse 20. Paul is writing to the Romans and he says this, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. All right? The God is going to use this little church to give the devil a whooping. That's what that says. God is going to use this little church to give the devil a whooping. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Follow with me now. When we talk about the little church at Rome, it was probably little cell groups, and this letter would have been spread about all about Rome in these little cell groups. There was probably a few little churches, and because of persecution, they stayed kind of small, and they were somewhat secretive, but they still had great power with God. God said through Paul, listen to me. This little group is going to take and bruise Satan shortly. They're going to give the devil a shot. Now the text, I kind of brought this out in Sunday school. The text is actually a reference to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. where that's a reference to a time coming when Jesus Christ as the Son of God would be born, and the battle that was going to be invoked between the seed of woman, meaning the Christians, and the seed of Satan, which is the non-believer. Is it actually a direct reference to Christ? Of course. But it also talks about the seed of woman, the seed of those who would follow after Christ. So here's what I need you to see here. A small church is going to give the devil a whipping. Satan would bruise the heel of Christ, which is a non-lethal wound. But the church would bruise Satan in the head, which is a lethal wound. Let's pray. Father, as we break open the bread of life, help us to present your word in your power. Help us and give us grace to do what it is that you would have us to do. Father, I pray, I plead with you, Father, through the blood of Christ, that you will empower me to share this message, use it to accomplish your purposes. We love you now, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, I want to say this. To be part of a church is to be part of the army of God, amen. Amen. We are in a war. We have an enemy, and it is our duty to go to war with him. We are in a war. Paul is saying to this little church that God would give you power to defeat Satan. Do you realize, church, a small group of believers can defeat Satan? How many times in the Bible do we see one or two or a small band of believers defeating the enemies of God? How many times do we see a David going up against a Goliath and slaying them? And in the Battle of Jericho, this small band of believers going out and taking and doing a great work for God. Listen to me. God does not need a lot of people to get his job done. He needs people with heart and courage and faith to get the job done. Follow with me. What drives the devil crazy? Sermon 1. What drives the devil crazy? Here's what drives the devil crazy, in my honest opinion. First of all, faithfulness. He hates faithfulness. He just absolutely hates it. He despises that believer that just keeps going and going for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they're sort of like the Energizer rabbit, where he just keeps going and going and going and going. Listen to me. Satan hates the faithful believer. He hates them, and he does everything he can to slow you down. Don't. You be faithful to God with everything you can, with everything you know is right. Be faithful to God, because Satan hates the faithful believer. Second thing I want you to notice, Satan hates the believer that worships God through all circumstances in life. Am I on tape tonight? Is this being recorded on YouTube? No? I am being recorded, but I'm not on YouTube. Is that correct? So if I want to come down here and preach, I can do it. We're going to get close tonight, all right? I'm coming down here. Who said that? Bob Barker, wasn't it? What's that? No, I don't need it. I don't need it, but thank you for offering. Listen to me. What drives the devil crazy? Worshiping God in all circumstances of life. I want you to understand this, and you get this well. I'm going to just pop right here. Listen to me. Listen good, all right? Satan hates a worshiping Christian. In the book of Job, I know that you know the story already. Job lost everything he had, and a bunch of stuff he barely had. He lost his family, he lost his health, he lost his wealth. Everything was gone in a moment. In a moment, it was gone. What was Job's response? He knelt and worshiped God. His wife pleaded with him to curse God and die. That was the devil's response to trouble and trial. That's the devil's response to trouble and trial. He wants you to say, give it up. There's no more point. Job wouldn't do it. He knelt down. He submitted himself to the will of God, even though it was horrible. And he said, I'm going to worship no matter what. In the Gospels now, Jesus is taken up to a high pinnacle, and there he is shown through satanic vision all the cities of the world and all the glories of them. And the devil said to Jesus, listen, this is all yours if you'll just do one thing. What was that one thing? Worship me. Since before the world was created, Satan has desired the worship of the people of God. He has desired it. It is his supreme desire. When the mark of the beast comes in, what's going to happen? The world is going to follow the Antichrist like he's a god. Follow with me. Satan wants your worship. He'll go as far as the Lord will let him go to take it. He'll put you in misery. He'll put you in agony, all in a desire to take your worship from God. Don't give in. Follow with me. What does the devil hate? He hates when we share our faith with others. Oh, that just eats them up. It just eats them up. Why did the Pharisees crucify Christ? Why did they do it? Because he was pulling believers out of Judaism. He was hurting Judaism, and the Pharisees and Sadducees hated him for it. He was showing them the truth of Judaism. He wasn't trying to defeat it. He was trying to fulfill it. And listen to me, when we take and we win somebody to Jesus Christ, or we share our faith about the Lord with another person, the devil hates it. Amen? So you know what? You keep doing it. You just keep doing it. Follow with me. Things that the devil hates. The devil hates it when we love God above all things. The devil hates it when we love God above all things. The Lord deserves first place. Amen? First place. Second place is not good. First place is the best place for Jesus Christ. Amen? When we give him first place and we follow him as a slave follows his master, when we are obedient in all things and love the Lord, I'm telling you, that's another thing that the devil hates. Sermon 2. Stay open in the book of Romans and look at the characteristics of the church that would whip the devil. Look at it. Romans chapter 16. Notice with me in verses 17 through 18 that the church that hurt Satan stood for doctrinal truth. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. I want you to understand something here. If you want to be a church that hurts Satan, you've got to stand for scriptural truth. You must stand for scriptural truth. Brother Sean Check, I won't get any closer. Here's why. If I go up another pew, you may be in the spit zone. So I'm staying back here. I preach in little churches a lot, and there's always this person that if I'm preaching down here, he's right there. I said, be careful, you're in the spit zone. All right? So follow with me. It's imperative that as the house of God, we stand for doctrinal truth. All right? Listen to me. I understand that people have differences of opinion, but the fundamentals are sound. Amen? The fundamentals are sound. Salvation by grace through faith. Folks, we don't give an inch on that. All right? We don't walk away from that. The total authority and inspiration of Scripture, we don't walk away from that. We don't give an inch on it. The idea of people saying, oh, it don't matter what you believe, we're all going to heaven. I say to them, then why did God create hell? I get a little angry with that. All right? All right? And some people say, it don't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. No. It's absolutely imperative to know what you believe and stand for it. Amen and amen. Follow with me. The church that hurts Satan enjoys the peace of God. Now look at chapter 16 and verse 20. Here's a strange thought. Here's a strange thought. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now that's a little weird to me. He's telling us we're in a war. We're going into battle. And we're going to take and we're going to enter the battle. But he calls himself the God of peace. What is that? The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. You're going to war. You're going to win. But the God of peace. How does that work? That's a little strange, isn't it? All right? Here's what it carries with it. It means the soldier of Christ carries with him the peace of God through all things. Listen to John 14, 27. Listen to it with me. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. He leaves us with peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Huh. There's a peace in being a soldier of God. You ever thought of that? Well, we talk about the war all the time. But there's a peace in being the soldier of God. What is this peace? Here it is. We have peace because we know who is in control. Amen? We have peace. I turn on my TV, I watch the news, and I think the world's going absolutely bonkers at times. It's going nutty. I mean, just crazy the stuff we're putting up with right now. It's just insanity. Lord's coming back. Amen? All right? But even though the world seems to be losing its mind, we know that Christ and God are still in control. We have peace because we know who's going to win. Amen. Absolutely amen. Follow with me. In our math books, back when I was in elementary school, back in Bedrock High with Fred and Barney. Brother Mark, were you there too? Yeah, okay. We had our math book. And the math book was a wonderful thing because it had its answers in the back. All right? Now, you had to write out your work, but the answer was in the back. So you could check it if you, and you knew if it was right or wrong. The Bible is a lot like that. The answer is in the back of the book, and we know we are going to win. Glory to God. All right? We have peace because we know all things work together. Am I getting too close, brother? Sometimes I get a little excited. We have peace because we know all things work together for good. Doesn't mean all things are good, but every circumstance in your life, no matter how worthless it seems, no matter how junky it is, God says, I can use that. I can use that to accomplish his purposes. I was counseling a man not too long ago, and he came in my office, and I said, and he's describing this utter tragedy. He's crying my eyes out. I said, you watch. God's, one of the reasons God has allowed this in your life is so that you can help someone. It may not make it all right, but you will see value in it from God's perspective. It will be something in your life that God can use. Church, you can take the most miserable parts of your life. They can be worthless to you. You may say, why in the world did this ever happen to me? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And you give it to God, and it'll become something that God can use. The church that hurt Satan loved the man of God. Look at 16:4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Look at 16:6 now. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Paul was a great preacher, but he also had great struggles. Great struggles. Struggles like I can only imagine. But he had people that loved him and were willing to go to bat for him. They would stick out their necks. They'd go as far as they could for the man of God. They would love the man of God. They would take care of the man of God. They would go to bat for the man of God that is faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ. Praise God for Brother Rick. Praise God. He's a great man of God. Stick your neck out for him. Help him. Go a little farther. Bless him. Count on him. Give him a good word. A pastor's job is often somewhat lonely. They can be surrounded by people, but feel alone. Give them an encouraging word. Give them a pat on the back. Give them that thing that edifies him. Meet his needs physically. Meet his needs. Help him spiritually and help him financially to meet his needs. Do the best you can. I preach in an area where churches go without pastors. The average time right now in northern Michigan to look for a pastor is 2 years. 2 years. It creates all kinds of problems for these churches. And that's where I can come in and help. I preach for them as much as I can. Try to be a blessing to them. They support us. We love them. And we get them through a hard patch. Good men of God are getting harder and harder to find. Stand by the ones that stand for God. Amen. The church that hurt Satan stands together through the struggle. Look at 16:7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Notice with me, he called them my kinsmen. They stood together as fellow prisoners. The only way Satan beats the church really is defeated by splitting it up. It is defeated by splitting it up. We get somebody here over here thinking this way, somebody over here thinking this way. It's not defeated from outward forces coming in, but inward forces separating it. And that's how churches die. Listen to me. Stand together in unity and faith in God. Do we always agree on everything? No, but we agree on the goals and the direction we're to be headed, amen? We follow. They stand together through the struggle. I'm glad to be preaching it to this group because you guys have stood together through the struggle. I've known you for decades in many cases. My, you have aged well. The church that hurts Satan expresses the love of God. Look at it in 16:5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Acacia unto Christ. I don't have time to explain that verse. Then look at 16:8. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Verse 12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa who labor in the Lord. Salute beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Do you see that word beloved? Beloved. I want you to understand this, church. We are meant to express the love of God. We are meant to express the love of God. We express it to the world when we witness, when we do that thing that honors God. We express it to the world. But now, notice with me, we express it in our relationships inside the house of God. Make no bones about it. Love some of you guys. Some of you guys, I don't know. Especially if you root for Ohio. I just struggle. No, that's not the truth. We love our church, amen? Oh, that deserves better than that. All right, we love our church, amen? Amen? Thank you. Almost thought I was at a funeral. Follow with me. Do your best to love one another. When the Apostle John was aged, very aged, couldn't walk anymore. But he would go to churches. And there they would put young believers, maybe young preachers. And they would sit him there. And the hush would come over the place as they waited to hear this great man speak. Know what history teaches us, he said, children, love one another. Right out of 1 John. Love one another. Listen to me, church. Love one another, amen. Love one another. Notice with me, the church that hurts Satan is obedient to God and seeks to do good. Look at verse 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. That's a cool thought. Let's be wise unto doing good. Let's show wisdom. Let's show how our wisdom by doing good. But concerning evil, let's just be a little dumb. I like that idea. Follow it with me. The church that hurts Satan is obedient to God and seeks to do good. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Whoa. You mean this little church in Rome? Their obedience spoke volumes to other churches around them. Do you realize what we do for God speaks much more than what we say about God? Your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I would have you wise unto that which is good. Let's be PhDs in doing good, church, and flunk third grade at doing bad. That's the concept here. Let's have a PhD in doing good and flunk third grade at doing bad. Number three, sermon number three. Turn with me now to the book of the Revelation. You know, I should be a little upset with this. Three sermons, one offering. It just don't seem right. The book of the Revelation, chapter 12. The book of the Revelation, chapter 12. Look with me now at verses 10 through 11. The book of the Revelation, chapter 12, verses 10 through 11. And I heard, now just hold your Bible open to this text. We're going to finish up right here, okay? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Three things that defeated Satan in this text. Three things. Look at it. First of all, the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Listen to me. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have defeated Satan in your life. You will still battle him in the flesh, but you have won the big win. There is nothing that is going to change that. Praise God, 10 centrillion years from now, we will be together in eternity. And we're just getting started. Amen. Praise God for the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb defeats the wiles of Satan. Glory to God. Follow with me. There's another one there. The spoken testimony defeated the devil. Oh, guys, listen to me. Every time you take and you share your faith, it's just like slugging the devil. You hear me? The word of your testimony defeats Satan. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, all right, don't raise your hand. Don't ask. Answer this. But how many times when you get ready to take and give your testimony, you get all scared and nervous, right? How many of you have done that? Don't raise your hand. But I'm sure somebody's saying, oh, that's me. I get scared every time. Why do you think you're afraid? The devil doesn't like it, and he's putting that fear in you. You say, well, I'm just a little nervous. I don't care how nervous you are. Share your faith, amen. You say, well, I'm not used to it. Well, get used to it. There's no excuse for not sharing our faith, amen. There's no excuse. And then notice with me in that same text, they loved not their lives unto death. I kind of alluded to it this morning, but Christians in Afghanistan right now are being slaughtered. They're being slaughtered. Christians in America are being downgraded in a nation that was founded on godly principles, that was founded on the God of the Bible, Christians are being downgraded by our political system. I could go on and on. This is what I want you to see. No matter what happens in this world, never give up on Christ. If it costs you your life, you serve God. If it takes and it costs you everything, never quit. Fox's Book of Martyrs is great. I remember in the early persecutions, a man was called in. And he said, and they put his hand down, his arm down on a table, and they held it there. And the judge said, reject Christ or this arm comes off. You know what he said? Take it. I get it back in the next life. Real faith will be courageous in the face of all obstacles. You hear me on that? Now, skip down one more verse. Let's look at Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. Now look at the last part of this verse. Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. When Hitler was defeated, he held up in the Führer bunker, and Russia was coming in from one side, the Americans were coming in from the other side, and Berlin was being just pulverized. Hitler was defeated. He's already beaten. He knew it. He knew he had lost the war. What does he do? Here's what he did. He gathered children, young teenagers, gave them uniforms, gave them guns, sent them out to fight for him. Why? He wanted to take as many as he could with him. Well, he had lost. He knew it. But he wanted to take as many as he could with him. Satan has lost the battle. He lost it when the tomb was open and Christ walked out. Glory to God. He was beaten then. But the war goes on. The war goes on. He knows he's defeated, but the war goes on. Why? Why is things going so crazy in this world? Because Satan is seeking to bring as many people with him as he can. Now, church, listen to me. Give the devil a whooping. Amen? Let's be faithful. Let's do what God wants us to do. Let's give our testimony. Let's rejoice in the blood of the Lamb. Let's do all the things in those three sermons that I mentioned. Three for one. That should be a Christmas sale, shouldn't it? Buy one, get two free. Glory to God. We win. Glory to God. Satan is going to be defeated. And when we stand before Christ, we will stand in victory. Let's pray. Father, that's the sermon. We give it into your hands now, Father. Use it to meet the needs of this fine congregation. Bless them for their faithfulness. Bless them for their love. Bless them for their dedication to the cause. Father, use them and use us all collectively to accomplish your goals. And Father, use us to deal a hard blow to the devil. We love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're dismissed.